Our scripture reading this morning is Daniel chapter 12, and the sermon text will be Daniel chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. But we're going to start at the beginning of chapter 12 so that you have a little bit more context for what the last 8 verses are about. Daniel chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. This is the word of the Lord. Well, a while ago, I was listening to a podcast, and one of the hosts, this guy named John, he was talking about the ritual that he and his 4-year-old daughter had at bedtime. So at bedtime, his daughter would have a bath, then a story, and then they'd sing Frère Jacques, both in French and then in English. And then right before he turned off the light, John would ask her a very important question. He would say to her, do you have any more questions? Well, he was telling this story on a night where she asked him, well, what is beauty? Which, of course, pushed back bedtime for another hour and a half or 2 hours. Well, we all have big questions. And if I could have given more context reading Daniel chapter 11, that might not have been a bad choice either. But the vision that Daniel sees here in chapter 11 and into the beginning of chapter 12 also provokes enormous questions. Because Daniel sees this vision that portends enormous trial for the saints. Now, much of this vision, most of chapter 11, describes the period that leads up from Daniel's time to the middle of the 2nd century B.C. Now, during this time, the Seleucid and the Ptolemaic kingdoms were duking it out over control of Judea. And this culminated in the reign of the Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes, who, you may be aware, persecuted the saints so severely that he made the streets of Jerusalem run with blood. It is said that in a single night, his soldiers killed thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Jewish people. And yet at the end of the vision, in those first 4 verses that we read at the beginning, it's revealed that beyond that trial, there's another trial coming. One that will make Antiochus Epiphanes just look like a petty schoolyard bully. And so this vision provokes two big questions in verses 5 through 13. These are questions that you yourself probably ask from time to time as you live even through this age. First, the question comes, how long until these trials end? And second, what will happen when they do? What will be the outcome of these things? And these two questions serve as a nice capstone to the book of Daniel, because they encompass the two great themes of the book of Daniel. And so to conclude the book of Daniel, we look at the responses to these two questions. And first, to the question, how long, we'll see the response that God is in control, as revealed in verse 7. But he does not reveal a date on the calendar. And second, we'll consider the question, what shall be the outcome? And the response that God provides needed wisdom for his saints to endure the great persecution, as well as the smaller trials that come along the way. And so first we turn to the question, how long? Now in verse 5, Daniel and the man in linen, who is the pre-incarnate Christ, the one who has been revealing to Daniel these things. Daniel and the pre-incarnate Christ are joined by two angelic beings, one on either side of the Tigris River. One of the two asks, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? He's asking, how long until the end of the entire vision that immediately preceded his question? He's asking, how long until the end of the Antichrist persecution? And how long until the resurrection? Now this question, how long, comes up frequently in Scripture, doesn't it? Now, sometimes it's a response to personal problems, like David's lament in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Other times, the horizons are wider than that. For example, when God sends Isaiah to proclaim his word, Isaiah asks how long he is to preach judgment to the people of Israel. Sometimes the questions take on cosmic dimensions. As the consummation of history is foretold in Revelation, we hear the martyrs crying out, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So you see that this question is a question you can ask about matters small and great, about things that you hope God will resolve tomorrow, and things that you trust and know that he will resolve at the end of the age. And yet we have to remember something very important when we read accounts of the future like Daniel and like Revelation. We have to remember that God is not a fortune teller. Rather, God is a promise keeper. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read that God forbids his people from seeking out mediums and fortune tellers and people who practice divination. But he also says that what a true prophet says will, in fact, happen. Now, this is because knowledge of the future is given to authenticate that message as coming from God. And that God is the only one who truly knows the future. And yet you can see that even in these, you could say, predictions, they're really declarations of the future. Even the purpose of these declarations of the future is to show that the prophet is proclaiming God's word. So the point is not so much for you to be comforted by knowing what the future will bring. The point is for you to be comforted by knowing that God has the future in his control and that he takes care of your future and that he teaches you how to live faithfully through it. And so it should be no surprise that when the question is posed to the man in linen, how long, he doesn't tell them what date or even what year or what century these things will come to an end. Now, in verse 7, we read that the man in linen raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. First, it's significant that he raises both his hands toward heaven because this is what you do to take an oath. And in Scripture, we see places where God takes an oath. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, God lifts his hand toward heaven and swears that he will take vengeance on his adversaries. But here in Daniel chapter 12, he raises not one hand, but both hands to heaven. And commentators have suggested that here he is intensifying his oath, making, if such a thing were possible for God, making a more solemn promise that he will bring an end to the persecution of the saints. He makes this promise using familiar words, if you've read the book of Daniel. He makes this promise saying that it will be for a time, times, and half a time. For this same phrase appears in chapter 7, verse 25, where the saints will be given into the little horn's power for a time, times, and half a time. Now, this is not meant to indicate a specific period of time. It's often taught that this will refers to 3.5 years, the time being 1 year, the times being 2 years, plural, and the half a time being half a year, 3.5 years. But that's not what's intended to be taught here, because this word time does not mean a year. And if God intended to teach that it was a year, he would have used the word year. And in fact, in a small Hebrew lesson here, you know that we have singular words and plural words. Hebrew has those too, but then also when referring to two things, they have what's called the dual. So there's singular, dual, and plural. And if those times in the middle had been two times, the Hebrew would reflect that and use the dual form instead of the plural. So, God, you have to remember, is not in the habit of making things in the Scriptures obscure when he could make them clear. So rather, I think, instead of seeing this as 3.5 years, Edward J. Young put it best, Antichrist will have his way with the saints for a while, and then for a while longer. And yet when it seems when the persecution will go on for a while longer still, that persecution will be suddenly cut off as though it were stopped halfway through in its tracks. And it will be stopped by God's power. Antichrist's victory will seem inevitable, but God will cut short his seemingly inevitable reign. And so this is a description of a time span that emphasizes God's definite plan, yet does not reveal the exact date. And it is emphasized here that this will really appear to the saints to come just in the nick of time, for it will happen, as it says, with the shattering of the power of the holy people. Now, this word shatter is the same word that we read in Psalm 2, that God, where God promises to his son, you shall break the nations with a rod of iron and shatter them like a potter's vessel. So we can see that Antichrist will be in the process of doing to the saints what God promises to do to the wicked nations when his power is stopped. And so much for the first question. So even at the final calamity, we see that God keeps all the suffering of the saints under control. The next, after this question raised by the heavenly being, Daniel adds a question of his own. As we read in verse 8, Daniel doesn't understand. And he asks then, oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? Now, Daniel has seen the vision, and he has faithfully recorded it. And yet its meaning has not been fully revealed to Daniel. And so he asks, But the response he has given is, go your way. Now, Daniel isn't rebuked for asking, but the specific answers he's looking for are not forthcoming either. I find this comforting, that we see here that a complete understanding of everything that God plans to do is not necessary for walking a faithful and godly life. Daniel is told to carry on his life of prayer and wisdom. For you see that God's word is practical. Daniel is not going to face the trials that he has foreseen. He will and has faced his own trials. And so God's word equips him to face his trials. But God's word equips you to face your trials. For God does make a promise to Daniel about what's coming for the saints. He says that some will have understanding to be pure and wise, and others will not understand and will act wickedly. So God did not equip Daniel to face your trials. God equipped Daniel to face his trials. And as for you, God and his word and his Holy Spirit equip you to face your trials. And how does he equip you? For what purpose does he equip you? Well, he equips you to be holy in the face of persecution and trials, which is heavily hinted at in the reference to God's holy people in verse 7. For the power of the saints may be in the process of being shattered, and yet God's people retain their character as holy. The suffering that the saints endure do not lead them to forsake God's ways and respond to the world in kind. It does not lead God's people to fight fire with fire, no matter what evil Antichrist and his minions may do to the saints. It's as Peter wrote, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, so that you may receive a blessing. Now God also prepares you to walk faithfully without always knowing what lies ahead. It's good to think in advance about how you'll respond in different situations you expect to face. It says in Isaiah 32, he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. And yet God often only gives us the understanding we need when we face trials. As Jesus taught his apostles in Luke 12, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So we see that we don't have the wisdom we need to endure every situation until the time comes to endure. God calls us and commends to us preparing as best we can. But he also promises wisdom and strength to endure when the time comes. Now just as Daniel did, you can also ask questions of God. Now, in verse 10, God promises that the saints will understand. Now, in response to any questions you direct to God, you shouldn't expect to see a vision or hear an audible explanation the way that Daniel did. But you can ask God your questions and trust him to provide the answers we need preeminently in Scripture itself. As the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 1, Paragraph 6 says, the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture. Everything you need to know to walk with God is found in Scripture, and I have found it worthwhile to address questions to God in prayer while studying God's word for the answers. And in fact, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to teach us to understand the Scriptures, as we would read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another way to seek God's understanding is to ask for the help of your brothers and sisters. You can seek advice from godly men and women around you. About this time last year, as many of you may know, I teach voice for a living, and about this time last year, I got an email from a prospective voice student asking if I could teach her and her husband songs that I knew were false worship. And so I knew I couldn't do it in good conscience, and I knew I was going to refuse. Because I know that God says in His Word that we're to offer worship to no one but Him alone. And yet I still asked for help from a couple of friends. Because I wanted a little help phrasing my refusal with gentleness and respect, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, to defend our faith with gentleness and respect. So my response was refined by the help of these friends, and I believe was more pleasing to God as a result. And so this combination of understanding God's word and advice from my friends led to a God-honoring response. So these are the ways that God equips you to be holy. He equips you by His Holy Spirit, by His word, by your brothers and sisters. So Daniel sought answers that God didn't reveal to him. We see in verses 4 and 9 that the man in linen tells Daniel that the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. The vision was meant to be recorded and preserved for people after Daniel to understand. But this day, God has revealed and given you more understanding than Daniel. He hasn't revealed everything yet, but more than Daniel, because you have the revelation of Jesus, the Son of God and our Redeemer. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. And so today we have a fuller picture of God's purpose for His people, because in the Scriptures we see Jesus, the one whom the Father sent to be the Redeemer of His people, the man in linen whom Daniel sees, and whom Daniel saw back in chapter 7, arriving on the cloud to be to the heavenly court to be crowned prince. But there were many things about Jesus that Daniel did not see. Daniel did not see Jesus' obedience and sufferings. Daniel did not see Jesus' wisdom as He refuted His opponents and taught His disciples to walk in purity and wisdom. Daniel didn't see how Jesus became our high priest by offering Himself as a sacrifice for your sins on the cross. Daniel didn't see that Jesus would be raised from the dead and ascend from the earth to heaven to be exalted at the right hand of God. Daniel didn't see how Jesus would promise to return in judgment to fully establish God's kingdom on earth. Daniel did not see the man, the God-made man, Jesus Christ, your Savior. And what Daniel didn't see was how it is in the person of Jesus that God gives His response to both questions. For Jesus responds to the question, how long? At the end of Revelation with the words, behold, I am coming soon. He will come at the end of history and deliver His saints from the persecution they face. And to the question, what shall be the outcome of these things? Jesus gives wisdom to the saints to be purified and refined. For Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so if you put your trust in this crucified Christ, you have every confidence that God sends His Holy Spirit to you to give you understanding of His word and to walk in purity before Him. Where you fall short, His perfect faithfulness and understanding are credited to you anyway. And ultimately, by His grace, you can endure whatever trials you face. You'll never be able to do these things by your own understanding, but you can lean on Christ's understanding and trust what He has said in His word. So finally, we want to take a look at these last two verses of the book of Daniel, because they do such a fantastic job of illustrating these answers. For the days named in verses 11 through 12 speak of the regular burnt offering being taken away and the abomination that makes desolate being set up. Now, it seems clear that these are references to the events of the persecutions that happened under Antiochus Epiphanes. And yet the numbers, the exact numbers of these days remain symbolic. I don't know exactly what events these specific numbers of days return to. I've prayerfully thought about it. I've looked it up in all sorts of commentaries, every commentary on Daniel I could get a hold of. And some of those commentators don't even bother addressing exactly what those numbers of days refer to. Some of them have wildly diverging explanations. And so I've concluded that the exact historical referent to these days is hidden in God's counsel, and not something that he intended to teach in this particular passage. Yet they're there for a reason. So what did God intend to teach by giving these numbers of days? Well, days are shorter than time. So God is referring, therefore, to smaller persecutions than the ones described as a time, times, and half a time. Smaller persecutions that typify the great persecution to come. For as John wrote, "You have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come." But God gives understanding to his saints to endure, to be faithful in the smaller persecutions, just as the same as he gives understanding and endurance to the saints who will face the big persecution at the end of history. And just like the saints who endured Antiochus to the end of those 1,335 days, you who endure in God's strength to the end of the persecutions you face will also be blessed. So these two things are the great themes of the book of Daniel. God is in control over history, and he gives wisdom to his saints to navigate the challenges that they face. As Daniel approaches the end of his life, throughout his lifespan, he has exemplified confidence in God and faithfulness to God. Throughout his life, he has acted according to wisdom given him by God, and God has consistently preserved him. And so what does he receive in verse 13? A promise. A promise that although his body will rest in the grave, yet at the end of the days, he will stand in his allotted place. God promises to Daniel eternal life. The same promise that God makes to you in Christ, whether you live through the last days of history or you die before they come. God, go your way in whatever time God has allotted to you, and you too will stand in your place at the end of the days. I have lots of questions, too. As a kid, I was full of them. And my mom and dad, with all the wisdom that they have, knowing how to preserve their sanity, they knew to direct me to the World Book Encyclopedia. So I learned if I wanted to know how a carburetor or a battery worked, I'd just hear, look it up in the encyclopedia. But we're dealing with questions here that you can't find in World Book Encyclopedia. You can't find them even on Wikipedia. But you can find them in Scripture. The answers that we need are found there. And even when the answers we seek are hidden in God's counsel, we can be confident he gives everything that we need to endure. For as James writes, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." As for the future, not even death can cause us to forfeit what God has promised we will inherit. For Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the saints who have fallen asleep in death will be raised by Christ when he comes again. And in the meantime, God gives the understanding we need for now. For these are the last days. Now, nobody can say whether these are the very last days. Those most horrific trials that was shown to Daniel up to chapter 12, verse 4. But we've been in the last days ever since Christ ascended to heaven. And so God has shown us at least some of what he left hidden to Daniel. For Daniel was instructed to seal the vision. But John in Revelation 22 is commanded, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." So in that sense, nothing has changed. The time is near. It's fully under God's control. And he alone gives wisdom and strength to his holy ones to walk in the way that pleases him. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of confidence in you that you give us by your word. And we thank you that you have given us the gift of your word to direct our steps and to teach us how we can walk in strength and holiness no matter what we face. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak the words of your scriptures into our hearts and continually give us this strength and this wisdom. Amen.